Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi wahdah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa la kitaba ba'da kitabihi wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'atihi. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In ahsantum ahsantum li anfusikum wa in asa'tum falaha. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Last week we spoke on the life, or the last 3 weeks we spoke on the life of Mujaddid Al-Fithani Rahmatul Ali, the revivalist of the second millennium. Inshallah, tonight and a few weeks to come, we intend discussing the life of Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali. Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali was Kurdish, means there was non-Arab blood in his lineage. He was a non-Arab. The lesson again, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that person who is Allah conscious, the person who can strive in connecting himself with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So generally when we speak of Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali, then we speak about the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. Last week we spoke about, or previously, Mujaddid al-Fithani, who was the revivalist. And now we're speaking about the liberator of Masjid al-Aqsa. But the lesson for each one of us is that we can't wait for a liberator. It's not time that we wait for a revivalist of the time. It is time that we start changing our lives. Meaning a revolution has to start from within. That is why we discuss Mujaddid al-Fithani Rahmatul Ali. The change was from within, that he made a change within himself. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted him for the revivaling of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similar with Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali, a person who was very close and connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for us to understand Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali, the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa, it means that we go a little bit back into history again. That we have to speak about the Byzantines, and his efforts, struggles against the crusaders of the time, the different crusades that came throughout the ages. Now, the Byzantine, or we speak about the crusaders, this is not limited to the time. If you speak in Islamic, it will be 481, 488 to 592. Or if we're speaking about the English calendar, then it's around the 1095 till around the 13th century. This is not restricted to that time. Yes, the efforts were at his peak in this period of time. Meaning in this period, the 5th century, the 6th century of Islam. But yes, the roots of the Byzantines goes back to the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The battle of Tabuk was against the Romans, although there was no battle that ensued, but it was to face the Romans. The battle of Muta was against the Romans. So that intention of eradicating, of effacing Islam from the surface of the earth was from the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But it was the piety, the strength, the resolution of the people of the past, that they always stood in the face of the enemies of Islam. They stood tall and strong, because of which they could not break through. Now the Byzantines, we say, from the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But if we have to go a little bit earlier, but that's not our topic of discussion, the fall of Spain, the fall of Granada, that this was a very strong Islamic empire. It was a very strong capital of the Muslims. But when that fell, Then this gave vigor, strength, intention to the crusaders and to the Christians of the time that we can walk over them. There is possibility. If you can take headquarters, we can expand. But the Ottomans of the time, that's another whole empire to discuss. We can leave that for some other time. But the Ottoman Empire stood strong in the face of the Christians of the time, of the Byzantines, the Crusaders, that they protected the Mediterranean Sea. That they made sure, come what may, you are not going to get easy access through the Mediterranean Sea. The entire coastline was covered. That was taken care of. And in recent history, we're talking about 200-300 years ago, it was the Oman country that took care of the Red Sea, the Gulf Sea, and the upper Indian Ocean. Some historians record up to the Cape of Good Hope. As far as this, the entire sea was taken care of. Meaning that was for Muslim control. No one could pass through or no one could come and overpower the Muslims. Now, our topic, the Crusaders, Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullahi, we're discussing the liberator of Masjid al-Aqsa. Now, initially, the Crusaders, when they were coming, they said, see, how do we overpower the people? There was a power struggle within the Christians, meaning the king of the time and the pope of a certain time, he tried very hard, rather both of them were struggling for power. So this internal struggle and strife between them weakened them. So they could not make headway in attacking. It was basically the eastern Christian community, and we had the Western Catholic community. These two would not see eye to eye. And there was a fight. But one of them, who was a master thinker amongst the Christians, he had a decision. He held many meetings between the two churches or the two leaders of the Christians, but they wouldn't come to any agreement, any peace, until he really gave some thought to that how does he walk over the Muslims? How do we capture the Muslims? So he basically had political agendas. It was economical, it was political, but he tried to give it a religious face. So he met with the two of them on his last meeting, and he says, listen, if we hold hands, the riches of the Muslim countries belong to us. They said, we're ready. The moment this was tabled, that we can grab the countries, the land, the oil, the riches, right, we're ready, no problem. So under this pretext, it was a religious face that we have to get them out of the surface of the earth. We have to wipe them out. The Christians got together. This is the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which unfortunately we have lost focus of. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will never place two swords upon the ummah at any given time, or meaning simultaneously. At one given moment, there'll never be two swords of the ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then goes on to explain, if the Muslims are fighting between themselves, the kafir sits back and he says, you're doing my job for me. And if the Muslim is fighting the kafir, then the Muslim brothers are united. Then they say, we've got a common enemy. And how often doesn't it happen that we have so many grounds of uniting, but we will make sure we touch on the areas of conflict. Whether we talk about organizations, whether we speak about on a family level, whether it be on whichever level, that we are so many, there's so many reasons for us to unite, but we will look for those things in which it is contentious, those things in which we have some ikhtilaf, we have some differences of opinion between ourselves, we'll pick that and we'll fight with each other. Yet as Muslims, there's a lot for us to unite on. I mean, this is something, if we have to read the recent Palestinian war and the struggle, this is exactly what you will see. That the moment the Muslim fought with each other, when one group fought the other, then the The Jewish community said back, you see, there's nothing for us to do. All they need to do is just shut out a little bit here and just ignite a little bit on this side, and they would fight each other. But the moment they had a common enemy, these two groups you used to unite under one flag, under one banner, for the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So what happened was that they crushed the Muslims in Spain, and they were heading a little bit further down, meaning coming towards Morocco, Egypt, Northern Africa, and to try and get hold of Iraq, Syria, and those countries where Islam was very strong. So it was some time, it was a failure, and then was the industrialist movement, where it was an idea of gaining wealth, spreading our commodities, trying to make ourselves rich. In this aim, they came as traders to Africa and enslaved Muslims and took them back to Europe. But King William, Gailstone, they say is his name, King William of the time, he was in Parliament in England, and he was addressing the people in Parliament at that time. So he got together the MPs or the ministers and the high profile people of France, of England, the different countries of Italy. When they were together, he just gave them one message. He had a copy of the Qur'an Kareem, and he picked up the copy of the Qur'an. And he says, as long as the Muslims have this with them, we can do nothing. We need to separate them from the Qur'an. No problem, they can hold the Qur'an, but they must be practicing our life. If we got that, the country is on our plate. It's ours. We can play with them. So this was the objective of that time. Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullahi, his name was Yusuf, but he was known as Salahuddin because Salah means rectification, Islah, Salah, from that word, correctness. So Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullahi, as we said, he was from a Kurdish tribe that they were residing in Azerbaijan. And Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullahi, his father's name was Najmuddin, his uncle's name was Asaduddin. And the two of them, they were not ordinary people in society. Meaning they weren't just like shepherds looking after animals. These were political figures, people of intelligence with admin skills. Because of which, when they were traveling and they came to a place, they were in Baghdad. When they were in Baghdad passing through, then the king or the khalifa of the time noticed the two of them. He called them. He was taken aback with the intelligence, and he created a catedral, meaning there was a fort in which the arms of the Khalifa used to be stored. And in that, he made Najmuddin and Asaduddin, both of them, these were the ministers of defense of that area. They were the ministers of defense. Now they were ruling the Baghdad region, little bit more going towards Basra, but excluding Mosul, which is little further north. And that was another person. It was Imaduddin who was controlling that area. But on one of his journeys, Imaduddin, who was in Mosul, when he tried to attack the leader in this area, where Najmuddin was the minister of defense, they faced defeat. And they had to march back to their homeland. As they were marching back, when they crossed the Tigris River, then they encountered Najmuddin, Minister of Defense. Now this person is walking past, hat in hand, meaning ready, his life can be taken, you can kill him, you can do what you want. At that moment, Najmuddin saw him, that he is the leader, he's seeking sympathy, he wants some assistance. Najmuddin, this is the father of Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullahi, gave him assistance. He says, listen, you need any help? We are here to assist you. You lost the battle, go back home, we are not going to do anything. I'm ready to spare your life for you. So he was very appreciative of this. He's lost his authority, he's lost men, soldiers, commanders in the war, and he's walking with just a few men around him going back to his homeland. But this was recorded by Imanuddin, that there was a man, his name is Najmuddin, who took care of me. So Najmuddin, his brother is Asaduddin, who is the uncle of Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Alayh. One day, Asaduddin, who is the uncle, there was a lady who was calling out for help. So the uncle goes, he realizes the lady is in distress. In the struggle to help her, it was a mistake, an error of judgment, that he killed the person who was assaulting the lady. He took the life of this person. The family of that man, they come for blood. They're ready to take the life of Asaduddin. So the king of the time, or the ruler of that area, calls Asaduddin. He knows that they are valuable figures in his empire, in his leadership. But now he is caught between a hard rock and between a hard rock and a hard place. He doesn't know what to do. So he gives it a thought and he says, listen here, I give you tonight to run away, flee. In the dead of night, run. These people want to take your life. I told him tomorrow we're passing a decision. But I can't keep you and I don't want to kill you either. So run for your life. So that night, when Najmuddin, Asaduddin collected their family and they were moving on to the next place, which was Mosul, when they were coming to this area, then as they were passing through the town, Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Ali was born that night. When generally a child is born, there is cry. There is a lot of hustle and bustle. There's everyone talking. People are congratulating. Now that's the time you need to be very quiet. But the child is crying. When the child is crying, you are worried about your life. People mustn't detect you are running away. So what does he do? The father, Najmuddin, is so worried about his life and the family, he's just intending, ready to slaughter Salahuddin. His name was Yusuf. Ready to kill him. When a person came and tapped him, he says, no, no, no. And he gives him a few couplets in Arabic, and he tells him, the Yusuf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, the woman cut their hands because of his beauty. Your Yusuf, Allah will allow him that he will kill the men. He will kill the men that are assaulting the ladies. Meaning he's going to be a person who's going to be a liberator. Spare his life. So he said, yes, it's an innocent child. Why do I kill him? But anyway, the lesson. Some people, you know, may be asking, may be wondering. So I rather say it. Why was it that in Maghrib Salah, Hazrat Maulana made the salam very quickly? Huzaifa is saying, Maulana, very quickly, couldn't read the du'as, tashahud, nothing. Assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. That is a sign of faqahat and understanding of deen. It's a sign of understanding. We may feel it very short, this namaz was. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if a child cried, or there was some commotion at the back, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam will fulfill the sunnah and quickly make the salam. So there isn't a lot of noise in the masjid, or there isn't too much of distress to the child. So to put the child at ease, quickly the salam was made. That's a sign of faqahat. I mean, at that moment, we all know the masla. But come crunch time, practice on it, you are caught, you don't know what to do. So that was it. That's why Maulana made the salam very quickly. So anyway, Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Ali, his life was spared. Father didn't kill him. And now he's traveling with him. He comes to the place of Mosul. As he comes, then there is a person that's welcoming him. And he says, come, have a seat. Showers him with gifts. Who? Looking after the father, Najmuddin. Gives Najmuddin gifts. Looks after him. Entertains him. Wants to give him, promising him position in his leadership already. So Najmuddin is a little bit taken aback. He's having second thoughts. That what's this? Why is he advancing so quickly, so good towards me? And just then Imaduddin reminds the father, Najmuddin, Salahuddin's father, he reminds him and he tells him that you spared my life. You spared my life. Today I will give you position out of honor of that one good deed you gave me. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. When you do something solely for the pleasure of Allah, when you really require it, Allah will bring it. You will be rewarded from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Solely for Allah, for no other reason. And Allah will reward. And there's it. Allah rewarded Najmuddin now from one city to the next. And now he's the Minister of Defense. He's gone to a very high position again because of one good deed that he did. Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah Ali was born in 532 after Hijri. 532 after Hijri. Imanuddin, as we spoke about, when he passed away, then the next person to take over was Nuruddin Zangi. Now Nuruddin Zangi is an important figure for us to understand because he was the mentor to Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah Ali. Because Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah Ali, he was nurtured under Nuruddin Zangi. You must have heard this name, Nuruddin Zangi. He was his mentor. He was the one that took over the Khilafat, saw the signs of intelligence, integrity, character, and skill, proficiency, efficiency in Salahuddin Ayyubi, and he also gives him very high position in the Khilafat, in his leadership. And under his gaze, did Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah Ali really shine? There's many qualities, just a few qualities, and then inshallah next time we meet, we'll discuss a little bit more about the history of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah Ali. Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah Ali was a man that lived, he's the Khalifa, meaning a later stage when he became the leader of the time, but absolutely humble. Now these were qualities that bring acceptance to a person. It's nothing else but qualities. Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah Ali, the leader of the time, he could have collected all the booty, the spoils of war, and he could have spoiled himself. But when he passed away, he was so generous at heart, that when he passed away, his estate never even equaled the nisab of the time. That's what he left behind. Nothing. Everything was for the people. He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said no. How do I say no? لَوْلَا التَّشَهُدْ لَكَانَ لَاؤُهُ نَعَمُ. Regarding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say, had it not been for shahadat, his no would have been yes. There wouldn't have been no in the vocab of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the only time he needed to say no, he says, I bear witness, there's no deity besides Allah. Then he had to say no. Besides that, whatever he had, he wanted to give it. And that was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that level of generosity. One person was going through some difficulty, financial difficulties, a real situation. So he went to an alim. He says, Mawlana, this is the situation. This is what's happening. What do I do? Mawlana says, listen, it's not that you don't have anything, meaning you're going through a bad patch. Is that correct? So you do have like for a little bit sadaqah. You don't have for a lot, but you do have, isn't it? He says, Mawlana says, do me a favor. Give more sadaqah. He says, well, hold on. I'm going through a financial bad patch. You're telling me give more sadaqah. Mawlana says, that is the divine prescription. If you want more money, you give to Allah, Allah will give you more. Because every day there's two angels making an announcement. Allahumma a'ti munfiqan khalafa. Allahumma a'ti mumsikan talafa. Oh Allah, that person who spends, the angel is making dua. Oh Allah, the one who has opened his heart, his hand, he has given. Ya Allah, give him more. Give him a good, handsome return. Allah, the one who's withholding, he's counting. Ya Allah, put that in the end result to destruction and a loss. He may seem that the numbers are increasing or his bag is getting more or whatever the case be, but that's going to go to an end result of destruction. Something will happen, he lose it. Allahumma a'ti munfiqan khalafa. So Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah Ali passes away and the money he has is not even equal to the nisab of the time. He was a man of justice. Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah Ali, when a person came, imagine he's the Khalifa, the leader of the time. He comes and he claims, you see, oh Salahuddin, see that slave you have? That belongs to me. That belongs to me. He says, no problem. I'm not going to argue or fight. We will go to the judge, my judge, and he will decide. He says, yeah, but you're going to your judge. He says, you bring your proof, I will furnish my proof. He will pass a decision. Wherever you are sitting, I'll sit next to you. I won't sit on the throne and I won't sit with my guards. I'll sit right next to you. So the judge will not have any, there won't be any prejudice, meaning he won't show any favoritism to me, and he will pass a decision of justice. So eventually they go to the courtroom. So the judge looks and he says, Khalifa, are you sitting there? He says, well, I am, when it comes to a decision, now you'll have to be just in your decision. So I will sit in an equal position as the person. The defendant and the claimant will be in the same place. So he says, no problem. The decision obviously eventually was passed for Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali, that according to the proofs, that he was the rightful owner of the slave. The person was leaving empty-handed. It was understood, accepted that the person was a liar. Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali felt so ashamed that I won the case. I won the case that the slave does belong to me. I'm rightfully the owner, but I'm worried I lost his heart. I may have won the case, but I'm worried I lost the heart. So he calls the person. He says, please make me maaf. The slave, I have given it to you as a gift. Take it. So that's why sometimes we need to think in our marriages, really think about it. That's what's important to win. Win the marriage or to win the argument. Sometimes we have to think about what's the better option, what's really we need to win. So Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali was a person, because of his justice, his humility, his generosity. He was a person that people loved him. Never walked around with security guards. He was the one, when he became the Khalifa, all levies were abolished. There was a levy for anyone who was drawing water from the Nile River. He says, abolish, nonsense. This Nile River belongs to Allah. I mean, that's what's happening. One is they're charging you for the water. Now you put a borehole, what is under the land also belongs to us. So there's a charge for that. So he says, no, that's not, no effort of ours. That's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't charge them for that. There was a levy on every pilgrim going for Hajj. Everyone who was going for Hajj, he had to pay a certain levy if he's going for Hajj. That was abolished by Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali. And many other levies. He made life affordable for everyone, all and sundry. He made it affordable. So these are just a few qualities regarding Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali. I mean, the level of crime, his ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was Hafidhul Quran. The love he had for the sunnah and hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that even if he was in a battlefield and a person narrated the hadith, he will sit down. In the midst of the battle, he'll sit down. He says, come here, my brother, come here, read it one more time. He will go in a trance and a hal if just the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the hadith was recited. So that was his nisbat and ta'alluq with Allah. And that's the secret quality. We want to become revivalists, liberators, whatever the case may, we have to strengthen that bond and that ta'alluq with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that's the love he had for the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love for the Qur'an Kareem. Love for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua, Allahu Akbar. In one of the attacks, when the crusaders, meaning once they liberated Masjid al-Aqsa, they were already occupying Masjid al-Aqsa. Now Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali was informed, the crusaders are now coming with their ships. They're coming in big numbers, and they have recouped to a great, great number. They said from Asr to Maghrib, he sat on the shores and he was watching the number of ships that are approaching the port. And he counts, and a person next to him is counting. 1, 2, 3, up to 70 ships arrived only between Asr and Maghrib-ish Salah. Obviously the battle will start the next day. That night Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatul Ali goes into the masjid. And the entire night he sobs and he cries. And he cries before Allah. He says, Ya Allah, Masjid al-Aqsa belongs to you, belongs to us. Ya Allah, protect your servants. Ya Allah, do not deny us the barakah of this land. And he cried the whole night. Whole night he teared. After the Fajr Salah, as he's walking out, a very old yet a pious person taps him on the shoulder. And he says, O Salahuddin, your tears have sunken the ships of the crusaders. And the next day the news came, there was a storm at sea, quite a few of the ships were damaged, some of them even capsized, loss of life, loss of weaponry, most of them, whoever is surviving, they're returning back to their lands. And he doesn't attribute that to himself. He goes back into sajda and shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Ya Allah, he thanks Allah, Ya Allah, I thank you that you answered my one dua. What was that one dua for? For the haram of the Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can liberate Masjid al-Aqsa today. How? We have to cry. We have to make dua. We have to become worthy custodians. That is why if we read the first page of Surah Bani Israel, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses Masjid al-Aqsa, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-harami ila al-masjid al-Aqsa, the entire surah, Mufassirin mentioned the point that Masjid al-Aqsa is the gauge of the ummah. In ahsantum, ahsantum li anfusikum. If you are good, if you are upright in your deen, Allah says, there's nothing difficult, I'll give you Masjid al-Aqsa. Wa in asa'tum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, if the people of Masjid al-Aqsa are incorrect, if they are sinners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the entire ummah, it's a collective ummah. If each one of you are not good, if you, collective as an ummah, you are not good, then it's to your own detriment. You're going to lose Masjid al-Aqsa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability to take some of the lessons from the qualities of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi, especially the quality of ta'alluq and building a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the battles that took place in the time of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi, a very interesting battle, was the Battle of Hittin. The Battle of Hittin and some other battles, inshallah, we will discuss that in our next sitting, inshallah. Jazakumullah. Subhanallah. Bihamdihi. Subhanallah.